Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So Justin Fields has confirmed that he's unfollowed the Chicago Bears and the NFL on Instagram. The reason why, all of you, too many people talking like fools about Justin Fields and the idea of drafting Caleb Williams. You know, this is his real life. Like, you know, when you post stuff, when the NFL posts highlights of Justin Fields and your immediate response is to be like, they should draft Caleb, like, regardless of how you feel, this is his true life. And I think for the most part, and I know, listen, most people are above it. Like, hey, you get paid a lot of money. I get it. But here's the thing. I can actually understand sometimes where Justin Fields is coming from, because similarly, most of the time people like to say a lot of rude things to me online, and it's most of the time it just doesn't matter. And then today, as a matter of fact, some kid stopped by on Instagram just to let me know. And this was his exact phrase was like, hey, you still suck. He's like, okay. And typically like that would never, who cares? But he got a block because I was just in that code. I don't know why I was in that mood, because I had five over on a nine today. So I feel like I was feeling pretty good. I just didn't need to deal with it. Justin Fields doesn't want to deal with it, which is why he unfollowed the Bears and the NFL, because you guys have no chill. But we've got some chill things happening on the show tonight. So Sammy, let's go ahead and get started.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means? And it's time for Take It to the Rank. We will get you sorted before we send you off to AEW or the Tape Never Lies Network, where they'll be talking about Caleb Williams. Of course, there's going to be a new champion on the MTV's The Challenge tonight. The Challenge 39, a new battle for a new champion. That'll be crowned. And for a lot of you, I know that you enjoy the football. As many of you are aware, I'm an Arsenal supporter. I don't know who won the game. I don't know what happened. I got one text today while I was golfing. It's like, are you watching the game? I'm like, no, because I got to pick up my kids, so it's going to be interrupted. I'm going to sit down and watch that match as soon as this is over. So if you can just exhibit some chill, and I know that our guest was like, hey, there was great Champions Leagues on tonight. So I'll find out about that later, and we'll be tweeting about it. But listen, big show, a lot of cool things to talk about here with Justin Fields making his comments. So I wanted to bring on, we had to turn to the family at some point. You know what I'm saying? We had to go to our cuz, the Bear Down cuz, our friend that we haven't talked to in quite some time. Bring him on right now. It's Mikey V, the Bear Down cuz. It's been way too long. I've missed you. How have you been doing?
I've been good. I miss you too. Miss you guys. You guys always run a great program here, and I'm happy to be aboard once again. It's good to see you, Adam. Yeah, a lot to talk about, a lot going on in Bears land, mostly generated by the fan base, I think, more than anything else. But that's what happens this time of year, right before the draft, and especially in the position that the Bears are sitting in. There's always going to be a ton of talk this offseason with the quarterback, the draft position, and all that good stuff. So it's an exciting time, but it could also be a frustrating time for Bears.
Are you like Justin Fields, where you're tired of the conversation about Justin Fields or Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I am. I find it fascinating. I do, because, you know, Caleb to me is a guy that the conversation gets more interesting this year than it may have been in years past. If this was last year and we were just going off the 2022 campaign, the Heisman Trophy, the tape, the way he looked, the way USC looked in general, I think we'd have a different outlook on Caleb Williams. But the Notre Dame game happened, and then it was kind of like a downward spiral for USC after that. And a lot of people want to point the finger at Caleb. A lot of people want to talk about certain things that Caleb does, certain ways that Caleb acts. And I think it became this polarizing conversation now. And of course, with Justin, he's always going to be one of the most polarizing figures, I think, in the history of the franchise. No matter which way the Bears go here, this decision that Ryan Poles makes is going to echo into the eternity of Bears lore, good or bad, depending on how it goes. But it's just fascinating. I am tired of the debate. Do we trade him? Do we pick number one? Do we trade the number one? It does get exhausting, but I do find it at the same time. It is fascinating. But I think it's healthier to just kind of take a back seat and look at it from the outside looking in and watch everyone just go crazy over it, which I find, right? It's like people watching. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like being at the mall and people watching and just seeing how fascinating all these different takes are from all these different sources, because everyone has a strong opinion one way or the other, it seems. And, you know, who's to say who's right and who's to say who's wrong? But we only have like two more months and we'll find out. So not even. We're right there.
We're close. We're getting very close. Yes. It reminds me, as you were saying about people watching, one of my favorite places in Las Vegas is this spot in the New York. It's called Pier 24. It's right where the two walkways converge coming from the Excalibur or MGM. And you can sit in a certain spot and it's not like a great app, but it's just like everybody, like the busiest corner in the world, everybody is just filing through there, just watching like all walks of life, just pouring through there, so to speak. And it's a fascinating thing. And similarly, you know, listening to everybody talk about the Chicago Bears, because everybody's talking about it. Whether you're a Bears fan or not, everybody has an opinion. My friend Laquan, who works with us at the NFL Network, he's not a Bear. He's a Rams guy. But he just tweeted out recently, like, here's what the Bears should do. Everybody has got their opinion. I do know that, obviously, you're an Ohio State guy. You've been a fan of Justin Fields for quite some time before he even came to Chicago. What is your official take? Like, everybody knows that I would keep Justin Fields and build around him. I'm not going to fist fight anybody over it. Like, I understand the other side of the coin, but I'm pro Justin Fields. Which side of the coin are you on?
Here's what I'm going to say before I give my position. I'm going to say that I do believe that Ryan Poles in the catbird seat. I think that he is in an advantageous position, more so maybe than any other GM in the league over the past 2 years. That being said, I do think that they are going to trade Justin Fields. I do think that that's going to be the ultimate move. I do think they're going to hold on to the number one pick, and I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams. And why do I think that? I think that because it is an unprecedented situation that Ryan Poles finds himself in, to have back-to-back number one overall picks in back-to-back drafts, in addition to having the 9th overall pick this year as well after the trade with Carolina last year. I mean, if it was anticipated that Carolina was going to have a horrific year, that's tremendous foresight by Poles. I don't think anybody could have predicted that he would have got 1-1 overall, but nevertheless, here we are. I just don't see a world where Ryan Poles can gamble his career on passing on the number one overall pick in back-to-back drafts. And I think that that is going to weigh into this decision so much because, like I said, it is just such an unprecedented situation that the Bears are in again. And to have a guy like Caleb, who prior to the end of this college football season was talked about as perhaps the best college quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, maybe Trevor Lawrence, you know, right there with him, maybe better, maybe not. I just find it hard to believe that he's going to pass on that. I think if the price is right for Justin, I do think they move on from him. Now, do I think it's the right move? As a Justin Fields lover, and I am, I love Justin Fields. You won't find a guy who was more excited when we drafted Justin Fields. You won't find a guy who backed Justin Fields as long as I could back him. I have seen a lot of the same mistakes repeated over and over and over by him. And yes, the team was a dumpster fire the first year he came in. There was a bad situation with Andy Dalton. We all know about that, how Andy Dalton was promised the job and how that came about. The second year we did a little bit better to improve it, but the roster was still, you know, begot of much talent. We didn't have DJ Moore yet. Cole Kmet wasn't who he was yet. He was emerging, but he wasn't the force that he was this year. I felt like he was. So really all we had was Darnell Mooney and then really nobody behind him. And this year, of course, Mooney seemed like he regressed, whether that was because of Bears development or things didn't just work out the way they should have, whatever. But I blame the offensive line. I've blamed the coaching staff. I've blamed the roster. The bottom line is this league is about winning, Adam. You know that as well as anybody. You saw what Patrick Mahomes did this year with a team that, by all intents and purposes, for all intents and purposes, was not the strongest Kansas City team we've seen in the past 5 years. It just wasn't roster-wise. But somehow some of these quarterbacks just can elevate the team no matter what. Now, there's not many of them that could do it. It's a handful of guys in that tier that I believe are near roster proof. They can really just, whatever they're given, they can just seem to always elevate it. And it's a passing league. And as a passer, I just haven't seen enough from Justin over 3 years as a starter to believe that he's going to be the answer long-term for them at quarterback. I think he's a phenomenal athlete. I think he's a phenomenal kid. I think he says all the right things. I think he works hard as hell. I think he does all the right things. But at the end of the day, every game I watch, I find myself over and over again, get rid of the ball, Justin. Get rid of the ball, Justin. Get rid of the ball. Get rid of the ball. Get rid of the ball. I have to find myself doing that at least 6-7 times a game. Turnovers, taking the sacks. I mean, there's stats to back some of that stuff up. I don't want to get into the weeds with it, but, you know, his major statistical categories as a passer, still bottom of the league after 3 years. He has his moments, Adam, and that's what's so frustrating about him. You know, he's a brilliant player from time to time, the splash plays, but the consistency hasn't been found. Now, are we going to feel like idiots if we do trade him and he all of a sudden goes somewhere and they become whatever team he goes to, if it's Atlanta, if it's
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, sure. If he goes there and then all of a sudden that's a super team because of him, of course we're going to feel stupid, but hindsight is always 20/20. I just think that they've exhausted.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
They've exhausted that area of the team, I think, to the point where, I come back to, can Ryan Poles really roll the dice on Fields for another year and really get rid of that number one overall pick again? I think ultimately that's really what's going to be weighing on his mind is, can I pass on 1-1 again?
Yeah, that's the toughest part. I think that, too, when you look at what do you feel worse about, like, with some of this stuff, is like, because ultimately, like, part of it is, like, how big of an idiot do I look if I do this? And I think that if you trade away Justin Fields, and let's say he went to Pittsburgh and he starts to winning a bunch of games, they do really well, you can still reason that away, be like, well, Getsy screwed him, and, you know, he still won just 7 games while he was here. He wasn't passing for more than 225 yards ever. So, like, it made sense for us to get rid of him. Like, I think people would do that. But if you held on to him and Caleb Williams goes somewhere like Washington and he has a CJ Stroud type of rookie season, then you're like, we just look like that looks worse. And I know that's not how Ryan Poles is like, I know that's not going into his thing, but it does have to go into his thing, because if you make a mistake with Justin and you go forward, you're like, well, now do we give him the Daniel Jones money? Like, what do we do? Like, what, we're kind of stuck with him because this is a unique opportunity to have the number one overall pick, which we wouldn't anticipate having again. Like, cause we have never had it ever until last season. And now we've had it twice. Stands to reason, like, this team, the way that it's built, will at least win seven games next year. And if you trade it to a team, yeah, it's too risky. And so for me, I understand all of that, but I still back Justin Fields, but I understand a lot of, there's a thing about Justin Fields. And I was thinking about this today. It's a lot. I know that you are Mikey Mulligans and you are learning the game of golf. A lot of, like, I was thinking about this today. Like, Justin is a lot like playing golf, where you're just like, there's times, right? I almost drove the green on a par four today. And which I never do. I don't have that kind of, but I just smoked one. I'm like, that's what Justin sometimes feels like. Like, there's just things that are just so outrageous. Like, God, that was so good. And there's other times that I chili dip one, like 2 feet. You're like, I don't know. I guess I would want more consistency. So I understand.
That's the whole thing.
You know,
the consistency for me is where it becomes so frustrating. You know, against good teams in particular, and you know, I hate to harp on the Packers, because I don't like to do that. But you know, I really was all in on that last game this year, and it really was just like Groundhog Day. It really was like Groundhog Day. It was just a situation where couldn't get anything going offensively, and it was the same in the first game of the year. It was again Groundhog's Day with Green Bay. And yes, I'm not going to just say that it's a one team thing, because it's not. It's not just against one team. I mean, listen, there's 22 quarterbacks in this league this year that threw for as many or more 225 yard games in one season than Justin has in his entire career as an NFL quarterback. 22 other guys. And I'm talking about names like Desmond Ridder. Yeah. You know, I'm talking about Aiden O'Connell. I'm not talking about Mahomes. I'm not talking about Josh Allen. Of course, they're there, but it's not like I'm naming stuff. You know, I'm talking about Joe Flacco, Gardner Minshew. You know, that's something that just I can't get past the fact that I love having a dynamic athletic quarterback, because I think that's a recipe for success in this league. You look at Josh Allen, you look at Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, all those guys could boogie and scoot when they need to. Even Justin Herbert to a degree, Joe Burrow has got some legs on him. A lot of people don't realize that. But at the end of the day, it's a passing league. And if your quarterback cannot sit in that pocket and have a presence to strike fear in that defense and make those throws when he's just got to take the drop and get rid of it and make the reads quick, that's just, to me, is not a long-term recipe for success in this league. You can't rely on a guy that's just going to dip out of the pocket. Yes, he's going to make spectacular plays. There's nobody better at improvising. You could talk to me about Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, but when it comes to escapability and running, I don't think there's anybody that compares to him at the quarterback position. But he's injury prone. We've had issues with him injured every single year. And do people think that's really going to go away if he continues to play the style of football he's going to play? I certainly don't think so. Unfortunately, his track record shows otherwise. And that's not his fault. It's just the style in which he plays. But yeah, that's like my main concern is his operating as a pocket passer in this league, which at a certain point, when the defense takes away that run, you have to do it. And I just haven't seen it over a long-term period, game after game after game, where I believe he could do it, you know, and that hurts. Believe me, don't come after me. It hurts. It hurts. I wanted this to work more than anybody. Promise you when I say that. I wanted this. I wanted him to be the 15-year franchise quarterback. That's what I wanted. But I'm also, like, accepting at least what I perceive to be somewhat of the reality now. Likely we're not going to have him, I would think.
If this was his second season, or if perhaps, let's say if Carolina won, like, you know, 10 games and the pick was in the teens, would we be talking about, about the Bears drafting a quarterback right now?
No, I don't think we would. I don't think we would. And that's a great point. And I had thought about that today in the car on the way home. I was thinking to myself, if we had like pick 15, this would be a non-conversation. The point would be moot there, because you're not going to reach, I mean, you're not going to reach and take like a Spencer Rattler at 15. Yeah. I don't think you're going to do that. I don't think you're going to take a JJ McCarthy. I mean, perhaps they may have, but they certainly, I would think at that point they would have kept Fields, you know, but the fans would probably be up in arms that we wasted a first round pick with Fields on a quarterback. But I think it's a moot point if that was the pick. But the reality is it's an unprecedented situation, like I said. And I just can't see a GM surviving this. And as good as Poles has been, and I've liked a lot of the things Ryan Poles has done, I think from, if you compare the dumpster fire that this roster was 2 years ago to what he's done now, defense, most interceptions in the league, they look phenomenal to close out the year. Yes, of course, they had their moments up front. They still need to add bodies in the pass rush. They still need a little help in the middle to shore up the middle a little bit. But the secondary, you know, Eddie Jackson's gone, but Eddie kind of really wasn't making much of an impact. But their corners, Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, these guys were making impact plays. They look great. You know, and a lot of the guys are guys that Poles brought in or drafted. So they flipped that around. You got your number one receiver. Now you could bolster it. You could go get a Malik Nabers. You could go get a Romeo Odunze. You could get one of those guys and bolster that. You could go after Brock Bowers. There's a lot of options there to bolster that offense. Couple more linemen. He's got the bullets. You know, he's got the bullets to do it. It's just a matter of what he thinks he needs most. But yeah, so I think if they're picking in the teens, this would be a whole different conversation. But they're not.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, yeah, it's a hypothetical situation, but it's like you are given this unique opportunity. It's like you're at a craps table and somebody hands you $1,000. Like, here, you can go gamble. You're like, all right, we might as well do this. We might as well take advantage of it. I don't know. I weigh it too. It's like Caleb Williams, and you're going to get somebody great at number nine. Perhaps they move back up and try to get somebody. I saw somebody, like, again, because everybody has their own, like, little theory. And I've talked about this one in quite some time, because as upset as I would be to see Justin Fields go, because like you, I've been invested in, I'm not an Ohio State fan. So I wasn't as invested in him until we got into the draft, or actually the game against Clemson is when I really fell in love with him. I'm like, oh my God, I love this guy. Like, I wish I would have watched more of his games in college. So I really got into it. That's the guy that I wanted. And nobody, but behind you, I was the number two fan. I was Justin Fields' number two fan. And so it's tough for me, but when I look at this and I'm like, I'm going to support whomever the quarterback is. And even if it's not Caleb Williams and they trade down and take Drake May or whatever they do, I'm going to support whoever is the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. But one thing that would make me easier to swallow, I guess, so to speak, is if they also traded up and got Marvin Harrison Jr., which, because they have so much capital, could you see something like that happening? Why not go for it? I mean, like, look what the Texans did last year. Is they went after and they got CJ Stroud, and they're like, you know what? We're not done. Let's go out and let's go get Will Anderson to go along, and whatever it is.
They both won Rookie of the Year. Their respective sides of the ball. I mean, it's a great move in retrospect.
Yeah, like, could the Bear? I mean, like, Ryan Poles has amazed us before, and outside of the Chase Claypool thing, I think that he's pretty much nailed everything. Could you see the Bears doing something like that?
I mean, listen, Marvin Harrison Jr. to me, and I've been saying it since the beginning of last season, to me is the best wide receiver prospect I've ever seen since Calvin Johnson. I think he's the best. And, you know, I would love to have Marvin Harrison on this team. Obviously, that's another Ohio State guy. I think him and DJ Moore together would be instantly one of the top duos in the league. But I just don't know if I can. I mean, I guess there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. If that's really when
they would have to get back up to three, probably. They would need the Patriots to want to bounce out of there.
Yep. And you know, where there's a will, there's a way. If that's their guy after scouting everything and that's the move they really want to make, I wouldn't be shocked if they package something together to go and get him. The only thing with the Bears is, again, I just think that they still need so much help everywhere. You know, they need a center desperately. Yeah. They haven't had a reliable center, it feels like, since Olin Krutz, really. I mean, you know, we had a nice little run there when, you know, but Whitehair played out of position when he played center. And then when we had James Daniels, they played, he was a center at Iowa, but then they moved him to guard and they played him out of position. Very bizarre. It feels like we haven't had a reliable rock center in a long time. And they need that desperately. They need another interior guy. They need another tackle, perhaps. So, you know, there's issues on the O-line. I think there's just so many spots that need to get filled still that I don't know if he's going to want to dump so much capital. It depends how much capital, I guess, that it would take to move up to get MHJ. But I would love Marvin Harrison. I mean, obviously I would love him. But, you know, a lot of people are saying in the chat, like, that I'm dumping on Justin again. I love the guy, man. I'm just telling you like how I see it. Here's my thing is for everybody saying like that I'm hating on Fields and that it's the O-line, the coaching and the roster. Okay. What If Justin again next year as a starter only wins, now he's averaged a little over three wins each year. He's got 10 wins total as the starting quarterback. He's started three seasons now, at least a part of each. Three wins, a little bit over each season. Suppose next year they keep Fields and he has the same issues and they only win 3 to 4 or 5 games with him as the starter. What's the excuse then next year? That's my thing, is like, can you continue to gamble on it being everyone else's fault but him? Like, and I'm not saying it's his fault completely. I don't think that would ever be the case. It's a team game, right? It's a team sport. It's the team game, in my opinion, the ultimate team game. But like, at what point do you say, you know, we have to kind of hold the quarterback accountable to a certain degree? Because if it fails again next year and we keep him, what's the excuse going to be then? You know, but getting off track on MHJ, I think he's the best. I think he's the best wide receiver I've seen since Calvin Johnson coming out. Would love to have him. If there's a will, there's a way. But again, Adam, I think it'll all depend on the asking price. I don't know how deep he's willing to reach in his pockets for that.
No, it's true. And he's shown that he loves, like, he's not afraid to make moves, obviously, because he has done that before. But I think that he also values draft picks, which is another thing that goes into this, into this whole situation. Because, I mean, when you're taking Caleb Williams, you're also realizing like how much you're giving up. You are giving up draft capital in that. What would that pick fetch? Like, if you think of what Bryce Young brought to the Bears last season, I think that Caleb Williams would bring even more. And I've talked about this before. If the Falcons came up and said, listen, you go from 1 to 7. We'll give you this year's number 7, next year's number 1. We'll give you an additional number 1 the following year, and Kyle Pitts. Again, like, I'm starting to think, like, how bad is Justin? Like, I can kind of go with this. And it goes back to the point about, like, if the Bears were just picking 9th, they would not even be entertaining a quarterback right now. And I know that, and again, I think that we can be critical of Justin of, like, yep, get rid of the ball, do this, do that. Shane Waldron coming in, like, maybe, you know, we saw how Geno played, and like, having that team built around you. You talk about what Patrick Mahomes was able to do. You also think about what the 49ers have been able to do, what Philadelphia had been able to do the year before. Like, God, you put a decent quarterback behind there, and I think that Justin's better than decent.
Now that's interesting that you say that, because I was thinking about along those lines also, Adam, and I heard a couple people say that. And the 49ers, they get to the show almost every year. NFC title game almost every year.
Every year, yeah.
But same thing with the Buffalo Bills. Excuse me. You said the Philadelphia Eagles the year they fell off this year.
But yeah.
But the Niners that won the team that's not as good, doesn't have the superstar roster, the Kansas City Chiefs. Why do they win? Because that guy is that quarterback. This league really is just so much about that position now, more so than it's ever been, because it's the most protected position, because everything is pass now. It's just like, yeah, the 49ers are great. 49ers are a powerhouse team, all-star roster, best left tackle, top 5 tight end, top 5 wideout, top 5 gadget player, I guess you could say, in Debo, number 1 running back, top 5 edge rusher in Bosa, top 5 probably number 1 inside linebacker in Fred Warner. But the quarterback. The quarterback, and Brock Purdy didn't even play that bad. But when push came to shove, it was Mahomes to Kelce, Mahomes to Kelce, Mahomes to Kelce. And it's just wild that it is that way, because the Niners, I think you're right, Adam. This is a team that on paper, you look at their roster, they should have won 3 Super Bowls maybe. They should have won 2 or 3 Super Bowls, and they haven't.
And why didn't they? It's the quarterback.
Why didn't they? Like, do you want to build the superstar team and have a quarterback that you're not quite certain about? Or do you want to have the superstar quarterback of the potential? And now listen, here's another caveat to this whole conversation. Caleb Williams could bust. He could bust. I can't predict the future. There's a much more vulgar saying to that. I got 2 things. Neither of them are crystal. I'm not going to go there. But I can't predict the future. Caleb could easily bust. He could. The Bears could mismanage him. He might not be the right fit, or he just might not be enough. You won't know until he plays. But the bottom line is, like, which route do you want to go? Do you want to start paying a guy that you're going to have to throw a bag to if you decide to keep him past another year? Or do you want to reset the clock and see what you get from a guy who up until midway through the 2023 college season was regarded as one of the top can't miss. Nobody was disagreeing. He was a can't miss prospect at quarterback. Everybody said it. The game against Notre Dame, it was like everything changed. And I'm not saying people are wrong for taking that opinion, because we saw against Washington, UCLA, all these games that he struggled in, and that USC really struggled in. We saw all the antics and the extracurriculars. But, you know, what do you want to do? It's not an easy decision. It's not an easy decision to make. I'm glad I don't have to make it.
Yeah, that's it's interesting too, because I'm not reading the comments, because I don't trust. I know there's a couple of Lions fans in there who are probably so happy to spoil the Arsenal game for me, but sure. I'm just kidding. No, people are cool. But it is interesting, because like, there are not two guys who are more pro Fields than us. You would be very hard to find guys like that.
Correct.
But every time you go through this exercise, it is really like there are a litany of outcomes that all of them could be right. Like all of them could be correct. Like there's the process of all of this is spot on. There's nothing crazy outside of taking Drake May or one of the other guys. Like I will not do it. I saw somebody the other day, like, hey, when you look at the top, like, stop talking about Drake May, because there'll be another Drake May next season. Caleb Williams is different. And Caleb Williams to me is the only other quarterback, the only one that makes this work. Otherwise, like, why would you don't like
Daniels or Penix?
They're fine. They're fine, right. But they're quarterback. We get those guys every year. Okay. Caleb Williams is the only one who follows the mold of Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck and players like that. Those other guys are like, yeah, this guy's pretty good. Like there's rare years where there's like no quarterback prospects where you're just like, oh God, there's really like, who are we? Like, what was it? Kenny Pickett's season comes out. Like that was the one year where you're like, there's not a good quarterback. Like even last year, but no, cause last year was good too. Cause I think Bryce Young is better than people are giving him credit for. CJ Stroud is obviously really good. Anthony Richardson's going to probably develop and do some nice things too. So there's always quarterbacks. And I feel like Penix and Daniels and those guys kind of follow into that CJ Stroud, Bryce Young type of, you know, category of like, we have those guys every year. Caleb Williams is special, which is why this makes it work. And again, you can go through it and like, I could talk myself into taking Caleb Williams. I could talk myself into taking Justin Fields. It doesn't really matter because, you know, it's not up to me. It's not up to us. But I see it. And it just doesn't need to become nasty, and it doesn't need to be as polarizing as it is. And we should just be happy. Like these are our choices. It's not like we're trying to choose between Justin Fields and Christian Ponder. It's Caleb Williams, who is one of the top prospects to come out in a long time. I do want to ask you, though, because this is the one thing that I hear time and time again, and this actually disturbs me more than anything else. It's like, well, the Bears have never developed a quarter. Like, okay, sure. But like Ryan Poles has been the GM for 2 years. Like this is a completely different operation. And I know everybody points to the owner, like the same owner, like, okay, well, listen, like there's Kansas City had not developed the Hunt family has owned the Chiefs since the inception of that franchise. They had not developed a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes until Patrick Mahomes. Okay. So like that does not matter at all. Do you buy into any of that? Like, oh, the Bears will just miss me. I feel actually really confident with the organization that we've put together over the last 24 months, that they're actually going to develop a quarterback if they do end up going in that direction.
Yeah. Again, I think something that neither of us could really predict or foresee, but we could certainly have opinions on it. And you're absolutely right about the analogy with the Chiefs. I think it's a good one. Here's the thing is like, people got to remember too, like Patrick Mahomes, 9 other teams passed on that guy too. You know, him coming out, you know, he wasn't exactly the most highly touted prospect coming out of college either. Like, and not even compared to Caleb, who's a consensus number one for most people. Like you got a guy like Patrick who they listed a litany of reasons as to why Mahomes was not going to work out in this league. And look what happened. Is that going to happen with Caleb? It's unlikely. It's unlikely because Mahomes is on his way to potentially being a Tom Brady level quarterback, right? Potential GOAT talk, right? If not already. Yeah. So, I mean, the odds of that happening with Caleb, we have to remain realistic, are very, very, very slim. But we don't need him to be the greatest of all time. We just need him to win games and put us in position a better position than we've been in since 2010, really. I mean, we had the nice little run in 18, but it was really worthless. We didn't win a playoff game, anything like that. Yeah. So we're looking to be put in a better position than we have been in over a decade. And people like want to fight that, and they want to resist that change because people are and rightfully so, maybe afraid of him busting. And I get that. I do. But I am so used to systematic quarterback failure with this organization that to me, it really would be just another day at the office. It really would be. I would just, it just would be what it is. So if it didn't happen that way and he was successful, and like you said, Adam, they did develop him successfully, man, what a treat that would be. That would be a major, major surprise and a plus. I would look at it so much more positively because I'm automatically expecting the worst, guys. And if you're a true Bears fan, you're automatically expecting the worst with every situation. That's just my opinion. So anything positive is a bonus.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's, you know, because a lot of the comments will be like, you'll just be drafting a quarterback 3 years from now. I'm like, yeah,
very
whatever.
Possible.
Like,
yeah, okay, very possible. That's
very possible.
Very you know possible. What?
Knowing Ryan Poles, he'll probably have like multiple first round picks going into that draft. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Because I look at this team, like that's another thing too. It's like, and Carmen talks about this a lot, is that Caleb Williams, it won't be like Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville or one of these quarterbacks going into a bad situation. It's like, you're going to a team that won seven games, that was very competitive, that lost three games where they had over a 90% chance of closing it out, like very close to being a playoff team. There was a chance that last year, that week 18 game against the Packers would have been a game that we were resting starters because we had already won 10 games and we didn't need to win that game. So Caleb Williams has also got that going for him, which again, and then when you start talking about like, hey, there's a, you know, the quarterback that the quarterback clock starts over, you know, you're paying him on a rookie deal for X amount of years. And then you can pay Jalen Johnson because you don't have to worry about paying Justin Fields. There's a lot of good, there's reasons. I get it. I understand all of it. And again, hopefully we won't have to talk about this too much longer. You talked about how we'll know this in the next couple of months. I do know, and I talked to DJ Moore about this at the Super Bowl. He was traded on March, I believe it was 13th, 11th. March 10th, March 11th.
11th.
It was a Friday. I do know it was a Friday because I was on Total Access that day. Sure. And I went on the TV. And I was like, hey, Ryan Poles has been killing it. And everybody's like, what about Chase Claypool? I'm like, all right, Chase, he's had one bad one. Like, he's had to pull one. He had to pull one out of it. He had to pull one out of it.
Listen, not for nothing. Then the Dolphins went ahead and took Chase Claypool. So it's like there's other teams making that same mistake. It's not just the Bears. You know, the Steelers drafted him. Then the Dolphins took him after what I saw that nobody should have took him ever. That should have been the end of his tenure. But, you know, teams can make mistakes.
He should have been playing in whatever league The Rock owns right now. Like that should have been it. But you know what? I still feel like, so in the next couple of weeks, we'll go through the combine. The combine is going to be starting in a couple of weeks. They'll go out, they'll meet with all these guys. I fully intend to see Ryan Poles put Caleb Williams through the ringer and to try to test him mentally. It's kind of like that scene in Armageddon where the Navy pilots got Ben Affleck and Owen Wilson in the planes. Like, I'm going to put you through the paces because I really want to test you and see what you're made of. And I think the Bears are going to do that to Caleb Williams to see if they can get him the break or what kind of mental makeup he has. And if he passes with flying colors, I could foresee them going and doing that and eventually trading Justin Fields. And, you know, we'll have to deal with that when that comes.
The Bears need to put the screws to Caleb Williams as hard as they can to the point where it's rude. They need to make it rude on Caleb Williams to really see how far he could be pushed and what buttons they could press and really just try. And I mean, listen, that's the name of the game. I mean, this is the NFL. It's a business at the end of the day, and they need to make certain that whatever decision they make, they have the most information possible from both sides before they make that ultimate decision. And listen, Adam, I think at the end of the day, if some team came in and said, listen, well, they make that ludicrous offer and it's beyond ludicrous, then I think you may have a scenario where the Bears move off that one pick. But I just have a feeling that the ask would be so astronomical that that I don't think it'll get met. And also, again, I'll go back to this. If they do the evaluation on Caleb and they go to the combine and they go to the pro day, and they put the screws to him and he passes with flying colors and that's their guy, I don't care what the offer is. You don't move off of them. You just don't. Yeah. You don't, because nothing will be worth that. If you really, truly believe in the guy, you take him.
Yeah, it makes too much sense. And I think that that's ultimately going to be it. And again, there seems to be people that really, truly believe that this, the decision has already been made, but we'll see that coming in. And I know that Justin Fields talked about it today about, you know, wanting to stay with the, with the, with the, with the Bears. Did you watch? Sure. Actually, you sent me the link. What did you think about him in the podcast? I thought that Justin in that interview was the best that I've ever seen him, and such a likable person already. I really loved it. And I also love that he called out the Steelers, or the referee of the Steelers game during his rookie season. That was the best. Yeah. I thought that, that was the best part of the whole thing.
Sure. Yeah. Number one, I think they do a pretty decent job on that podcast. But you know, I was listening to New York sports radio on my way home from work today, and they had said that what Justin Fields' answer was to the deleting of the social media, his team off social media, and a lot of people have done this. This is, so many guys now get caught in the crosshairs of who they unfollow on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. It becomes a storyline. Yeah. And I thought his response, and they said on the radio, they were like, this may be the best response I've ever heard, was that, listen, I'm going on vacation. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear about whether they're keeping me or drafting my replacement. And Adam, you started this whole show with, you know, he's a human being. You know, imagine you in the chat right now, lighting up all these comments, talking about how insane I am about the Justin Fields thing. Imagine if you went to work every day and all you heard about was, is your boss going to keep you, or is he going to hire a new guy to replace you? That's the hot shot new kid out of college that they want to hire to replace you. If you heard that every single day, you would be getting frustrated too, and perhaps you would want to unfollow whatever kind of media or news outlets that keep, you know, repeating that over and over and over again for you to see. So, you know, do I think it's a great move optically? Personally, for me, if you're going to do that, you know, maybe the better move would have been just delete the app altogether, or mute the account, or, you know, do something where it doesn't show. I think you can mute an account where you don't see it. There's other options. I think that maybe optically certainly would have looked a lot better to the people, because, I mean, listen, that move is just bringing more attention to him. He had to know that with all the attention that's already on him, the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, Justin Fields, trade him or not. When you unfollow the Bears, you know, that it's the attention is going to blow up even more. But maybe that, you know, Justin's not stupid either. You know, maybe he's a smart guy. Could be a whole move. You don't know. I thought the podcast was good, and I thought the answer was fine.
I love it. I'm gonna tell you a secret, and I won't say who, but like, I will tell you that what is it? Because I obviously follow a lot of fantasy accounts, and I want to support people in the industry.
Sure.
But when it gets to around, I want to say June, probably actually more so after the draft, because I like to have everybody's information ready to go, because I love gathering information. But after about right around June, I pretty much mute just about every fantasy person that I follow, and not in a way of like taking offense.
It's not malicious.
I don't want it to go against what I'm thinking, because too many times I've had people talk me out of a move that I really wanted to make. And you're like, you gotta have conviction. You know what? It's kind of like when you're sitting there and you've decided to go with your 6-iron and you're like, you know what? I'm going to go with it. And I don't want anybody, I'm just going with it. And this is what I feel comfortable with, because if I change it. Similarly, and John Hansen, who's on SiriusXM, is also, he doesn't even follow anybody. I follow, because I still think it's important to follow. And once draft season is over, once we get into September, then I go back and I hit follow again. Just because everybody has information, which is what I want. I just don't want the people during draft season, but I don't unfollow them, because that would feel... Yeah. That would feel like a slap in the face, and people get upset. And I accidentally unfollowed somebody on Instagram recently. And I was like, oh geez, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm an old man. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. You can't use that excuse, Adam. You got a lot of, electronic, wherewithal.
I'm too savvy. Yeah. It's a bonehead move. Hey, but I know that I've dropped a couple of golf references here. So before you go, I just want to know really quick, are you still swinging the sticks? How's Mikey Mulligan going?
But you know, I'm in Jersey, so
you're
in
Jersey.
We're in frozen winter right now, so you know what I mean. I don't get out as much as I'd like to. I actually hurt my back not too long ago.
Ooh.
Unrelated, so I had to take it easy a little bit. But and just to piggyback off of that, I mean, I totally get that. I do a subscription service on Instagram now. Been doing it for 2 years, where I do gambling picks, sports gambling picks, because I've been around that my entire life. I've been doing that a long time. But to your point, the worst thing you could do when you're in something like that, where it's predictive, you know, data driven, you know, pretty much predictions, is following all these other accounts that do the same thing, because it will cloud your judgment. You will second guess yourself. So I totally, totally am on board with that. And I agree with that. That could be a serious detriment to how you think and how you process everything. And that's, you know, why people follow you, is because they want Adam Rank. They don't want, you know, somebody, they don't want, you know,
I don't want Jake Seeley in getting into my mind and trying to change it. And it's so, it's so funny, especially I'll just go back to the Super Bowl. Like, I was a couple of weeks ago, when the playoffs started, I'm like, I think the Chiefs might win the Super Bowl. So I picked the Chiefs in every game, and people were upset with me. When I put out my prediction, you can go to Instagram and find this. When I picked the AFC Championship game, I even said that the Chiefs were going to beat the Ravens, which everybody thought I was crazy. And I go, and then they're going to end up having the most unlikely of repeats, because they're going to end up beating whoever advances in the NFC Championship game. And by the time we got to Super Bowl Sunday and being out there in Las Vegas, I allowed that to influence me and change my mind. See, like, you just stick with it. Yeah. Like, if I just would have stuck with the Chiefs, my life would have been less.
I told that to everybody, man. I said, so many people jumped off of Kansas City after Championship Sunday. And if you watch both those games on Championship Sunday, and if you watch the divisional round and you watch the wild card round, forget the wild card round. The Chiefs wiped the Dolphins at home in a freezing cold game. Forget that. But if you watch divisional round and Championship Sunday, the Chiefs went on the road against a Buffalo Bills team that had been waiting. They'd been waiting to get Kansas City at home for years. They've been waiting to get them at home while Allen's playing his best football of the season, which he was, and a decent defense on top of it. The Chiefs still won. The following week, the Ravens get them on the road at home for them, for the Ravens, with the MVP of the league and the best defense in football, and the Chiefs still won. Meanwhile, you look at San Francisco. They bring Green Bay in there over a touchdown underdog, almost a 10-point underdog, Green Bay, and they almost lose and probably should have lost outright to Green Bay.
100%.
Following week, they're a touchdown favorite again against the Detroit Lions, a dome team coming into their building, and they should have lost again. And somehow in the two-week break between Championship Sunday and Super Bowl Sunday, everyone and their mother, and I'm talking about sharps, and when I say sharps, guys that handicap games, were giving out Niners, 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 Niners. And I had thought about it, and I thought about, well, you know, Christian McCaffrey, the run game. Well, you know, that defense for San Francisco. Well, you know, Deebo Samuel says he's going to do this. But at the end of the day, You stick to what you know when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. You die on the Patrick Mahomes Hill in the Super Bowl every time, unless he's playing Tom Brady. I don't care who he's playing, what team they're playing. You die on the Mahomes Hill, because you'll feel a lot better about it than if you died on the Brock Purdy Hill and you watch Mahomes lift the Lombardi and you look at him and you say, how did I bet against this guy, man? This guy, this is what he does. It's what he does. He wins the Super Bowls. It's annoying. But it's the new Patriots. It's the new dynasty. I never thought we'd see one, but it sure looks like, and that's a team, Adam, to me, I don't know about your opinion, that's a team that's only moving up next season. That team's going to get so much better next year. Right. I don't even think they were good this year. I mean, they were good. They were good, but I mean, they are going to vastly improve, I think, this offseason, and they're going to be real scary next year. Real scary.
They're going to be scary next year, and it's very similar, like, you know, obviously the Patriots. The thing that is funny to me is everybody talks about Patrick Mahomes, like, hey, for such 3 and 4 years at such a young age, you're like, yeah, Tom Brady also did the same thing. And then they went out, and Tom Brady went out there and had the perfect season in 2007. He went to two other Super Bowls and then won four more after that.
And with a different team.
And with a different team, which I believe that Patrick Mahomes can do. But I'm still going to go Brady, but I still think that, the Chiefs are going to be very good for a long time. And I think that it's going to be annoying, and that's okay. But again, going back to just, like you said, like, why? Like, I was on the Chiefs again, the Chiefs, the whole playoffs, Chiefs in Buffalo. Yeah. The Chiefs will win that game. I was so confident.
See, and I was off of them. I went Buffalo and I went Baltimore because Baltimore and the Chiefs were my two Super Bowl picks prior to the year. But I was rolling with Baltimore the whole year. I went against them twice in a row, Adam. I said, I will not do it again. I will not. I said I couldn't. I couldn't. Now, you were rolling with the Chiefs, so you were kind of opposite.
There was no reason. There was no reason to get off other than my own stupidity. And
if this would have been a lot of people did it. A lot of people did
if we would have been in Miami. I really do believe this. If we would have been in Miami and there hadn't been so many 49er fans around, it would have been easy to just kind of be like, ah, whatever. I had my initial analysis. I was right on, pretty spot on with what it 49ers played better than I thought they would, but initially. So yeah. I got swept up into it. And it's hard. It's easy to do. That's Vegas. Like there are so many times where you're just yeah, I'll split tens. Like, let's go crazy. Like, we're having a good time. It felt like house money at that time. And I also, all I had to do was not record a video. Like, if I just would have gone into the stadium and just done what I was doing, could have saved myself a lot of trouble. I could have actually the day before I was like, hey, I'm the vibe of the 49ers is feeling strong. I should have just left it at that. But like, no, I stuck with my pick. But it is what it is. But listen, I want to thank you. For joining us here. I didn't want to keep you too much longer. 45, tight 45 is what I was aiming for. I know that you had to, it was very nice of your wife to clear this tonight for you to come join us here on short notice. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully we can go out there and swing the sticks sometime in the near future. I forget, like it's been raining out here. It was like 12 degrees Celsius the other day.
I've heard that.
It gets like, I get real like, I get bent out of shape when the driving range is closed for like four consecutive days. I'm like, really? Like this is, I'm so spoiled. I can't even imagine what it's like to be on the East Coast and having to deal with this.
You need to tell the NFL Network, they got to build a simulator for you in your garage.
That's what I wanted. Like when they were building the facility here at SoFi Stadium, one of the first, cause MJ Acosta Ruiz was kind of our liaison. I'm like, hey, where are they? Are they putting in a gym? They're like, no, there's not going to be a gym. And now we have a big empty spot that nothing's used. And you're like, you could have put in a couple of ellipticals there and we would have been fine. Golf simulator would have been even better. But you know what? we'll work on that. I got in trouble one time because there's a demo field that we don't actually own. It's actually part of SoFi Stadium, believe it or not. The one that the game day morning crew's on Sunday morning actually belongs to SoFi. It doesn't belong to us, even though it's right outside of our studio. I got in trouble for chipping balls there one day. And I'm like, oh, whatever. It's like, it's artificial. I can't take divots. You're fine. So we'll go swing the sticks one day, but wanted to thank you. How does everybody follow you? Where could we, cause I know that you have the Patreon. Is it Patreon? Is that what they call it?
No, it's a IG subscription. Yeah. It's an IG subscription.
Do you do college hoops too?
What's up?
Do you do college hoops?
Yeah, college hoops, NHL, MLB, but really college football, college NFL. Bear Down Cuz across all platforms, TikTok, Twitter, mostly on Twitter and Instagram, though, for the most part. You can follow me on any of those. And then if you're interested in subscribing, that's on my Instagram. Very cheap considering the service. I encourage you to do that. Check it out. The testimonials speak for themselves. So I appreciate it, though, Adam. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to chop it up with you. It really is.
Now, we'll do it again real soon. And I know we got a lot of good things coming up here for the Chicago Bears. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We won't be such a stranger next time, but thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to everybody who was here tonight. I appreciate your input and everything like that. And until next week, bear down. Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.